Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. God is good. Excited to be in church today. Glory to God. God is good. He's for us. Praise the Lord. He's with us. Can you bring me down just a hair there? I don't want to get yelling and have the speakers blow out or anything. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is for us. He's with us. Amen. You know, that sounds like a nice, good Christian churchy thing to say, but we don't just say it because it's a good Christian churchy thing to say. We say it because it's the truth. Amen. If I didn't have the Lord in my life, oh, dear Jesus, I wouldn't be here today. Amen. I don't know if I would be here today at all. Praise the Lord. But God is good. He's faithful, and he will do what his word says if we put it to practice. You know, one of the biggest mistakes make is they think that they can be a Christian without doing what the word says. And you cannot be a Christian and not do what the word says. You cannot be an effective Christian not doing what the word says. Amen. The word is our key. It's our hope. It's our strength. It's our sword, the Bible says. You know, so many Christians are trying to fight through life and they don't realize that all they need is this sword right here. This sword, it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Praise the Lord. That means that there's no enemy that can come against us, that can stop us. There's nothing that can rise against us that we can't conquer as long as we have the word. If we stand on the word, amen. And that's why I love standing on the word. I'm so glad that I found a church that taught me how to stand on the word, amen. If it wasn't for a church that taught me how to stand on the word, I would still be a Christian who was failing, amen. But I'm not a Christian who fails. I'm a Christian who wins. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I win all the time. I want to win. Hallelujah. That's exactly what I said to God. I want to win. And God enabled me to win, praise the Lord. Why? Because God cares for us. Hallelujah. He loves us. He doesn't just care for us in the way we say care. He loves us with such an eternal, deep love that we can't even fathom the love in which he loves us. Amen. But he's given us a little bit of a way to see a little bit of how he feels. Amen. And I'm so glad I got some of them sitting here in the front row. You know, we get family. I love family. Anybody else love family? Praise the Lord. Well, if you don't love family, say, I don't have a good family. Well, praise the Lord. You're in one. Hallelujah. Just come in and get hooked up. But God's given us a family to have an understanding. Children, he gives us children to have just a slight understanding of how he feels towards us. Amen. And the Bible says that our love, as strong as it can be, as wonderful as it can be, that our love compared to his love is evil. Not meaning that it's bad, it means compare. When you compare apples to apples, oranges to oranges, amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it is just such a wonderful thing. And I'm just so thankful for the God that we serve. Hallelujah. So if you came here today for the first time, you say, what kind of church am I coming to? That's the kind of church you came to, amen. You came to a church where the real God exists. Praise the Lord. He's here, amen. I'm not saying that no other churches have. I'm just saying that we know this one does, amen. So if you came here once, well, you might as well come on back some other time, amen. Praise the Lord. We got a word to get to here, and it's important, amen. Today's message is called Loving Your Salvation. Praise the Lord. Up until even early this morning, I didn't have any idea what I was preaching today. Well, I had an idea, but I didn't have any idea what the context was. In fact, I sent a friend of mine in the ministry, I sent him a picture last night of my notes, which was about 5 words, praise the Lord. That was all that I had. But, you know, I've had some things stirring in me, and I just seek the Lord continually for what he wants to say to me. You know, I don't make seeking God a Sunday-only thing, a Saturday-only thing. You know, I try to make God a everyday thing, seeking the Lord. And I find that as I've done that, I've learned to hear the voice of God. I've learned how God will talk to me, and God does speak to me, and he'll speak to you too. In fact, he wants to. That's his greatest desire, is to have a personal relationship with you. Now, I know that's another big Christianese kind of phrase that we like to use in church circles, but God really wants a real relationship with you. And you say, well, what's a real relationship with God like? Well, if you've ever had a relationship with anybody else, there would be similar aspects to that in this. Now, I'm not talking about if you had bad relationships and stuff like that, but a relationship where you can commune back and forth, where God will speak to you and you can speak to him, where you can ask questions and he will answer. You know, one of the things I love about my wife is when we talk, we answer each other. It's great that we can have conversation back and forth. How many would love to have a marriage where you don't talk back and forth? You never speak to the other person. Well, it can't be a marriage if that's the way that it is, right? Because a marriage means to bring two things together. God gave us marriage as an example of our covenant with him. And so God wants to speak to us as well. He wants to he wants to have a back and forth dialogue. In fact, there's many scriptures that point to that, that literally say to talk to him and to contend with him. And you know, and why would we do that if we don't ever hear anything back? Amen? Well, God doesn't just speak the way that we always speak, praise the Lord, but he does speak to us, and it's very clear. And I love it. You know, as I was studying out some scripture yesterday, one word, it was talking about the purity, the wisdom that comes from above, it, the scripture says, the wisdom that comes from above is first pure. I like that. It said first pure. And I got into that. I was like, you know, there's got to be something more. What is pure really? And one part of the definition of pure, as it's in context there, is clear. And I really enjoyed that. The wisdom that comes from above is first clear. Now, of course, we understand purity. If you think about water that's pure, it's clear. You can see through it. Amen. Chautauqua Lake isn't always pure. Hallelujah. We do baptism by August. By August, the lake definitely is not pure anymore. Praise the Lord. There's always some things we're contending with going out there. And it's probably better because when it's that muddled and mucked up, we can't see what's underneath it. Amen. So you can't see what you're stepping in. I know my sister Kimberly back here saying amen because she did it once. Praise the Lord. She's like, I don't want to go out there, but I'm going to do it for the Lord. Hallelujah. But pure, it means it's clear. Amen. And it's instantly when I read that, I just got excited because I'm like, you know, when the wisdom God, it's clear in my spirit. I know when God's speaking to me, and I know that it's right. I know that these things I can do. And so many people, I hear people all the time saying, well, how you can't ever really know. I say, oh, yes, I can. Yeah. Hallelujah, because God's given me the Holy Spirit so that I can. Amen. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. That's not my message, but that's good anyways. Hallelujah. Today's message is called Loving Your Salvation. Praise God. Loving Your Salvation. And we're going to see here, you know, we talk about salvation a lot. A lot of churches talk about salvation. Salvation is a very strong Christian subject, praise the Lord. But a lot of people don't realize that salvation isn't just, that we often look at salvation as just the end goal. It's the thing that happens at the end. Salvation, we get saved from eternal death. Praise the Lord for it. But salvation is so much more than that. Salvation is a lifestyle. Salvation is a way of living. Salvation is a way of being. Amen. Salvation is a total recreation of who you were. Because who you were before you knew Jesus. Now, if you don't know Jesus, you just hang on. By the end of the service, we'll make sure you get to know how. Amen. But if you do know Jesus, salvation, you know that Jesus has come in and he's recreated us. He's given us, now whether or not we walk or live in that is up to us. That isn't up to God. But we can choose to live in that salvation, amen? And so today we're going to talk about loving it. We're going to talk about what it means to be in that, amen? Praise God. We're going to start in Matthew 6. Glory to God. Matthew 6. And this is such an important scripture for us. I just had this brief thought. I was flipping and I was like, what if there's pages of my Bible torn out and I couldn't see? I don't know why I thought that, but it was just, I'm just sharing it with you because I do that sometimes. That's what I do. I just share random thoughts that I have. I'm just flipping through. I'm like, I had this brief moment. Oh my gosh, the beginning of Matthew isn't there. Quick, somebody else give me a Bible. I accidentally tore it out or something. I don't. Matthew 6 and verse 21. Some of you are sitting, what the heck is he saying? Just don't worry about it. And my wife understands. That's about all I need. Glory to God. God knows what I mean. Praise the Lord. Matthew 6, 21. This is the basis for this whole sermon. This is what this whole sermon is built on, was understanding in this scripture. Amen. And it says here, Matthew 6, 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, this applies to many things, but basically the bulk or the way we could sum it up, the best way is that whatever you treasure, that's where your heart is going to be all the time. Amen. We know what we treasure by where our mind is, where our heart is. What are we desiring all the time? What are we thinking about all the time? What makes us tick? Amen. That's how we can know what our treasure is. Amen. And the most important thing that we need to know is that our treasure needs to be found in God. Our treasure needs to be found in the Word. It needs to be found in Jesus Christ. It needs to be found in the things that God has done for us. Amen. We need our treasure to be that. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God has made us his treasure. Hallelujah. Salvation comes because has come because God has put his heart where his treasure was. His treasure was within each of us. His treasure said, I won't hold back anything. His treasure said, I will give everything right up front. Oh, it just makes me, like even as I stand here, and it's not that we're all about warm, fuzzy feelings, but praise the Lord, even as I stand here talking about that, that's exactly what I feel. I'm just so blessed that God's treasure was in me. Amen. Yeah, you're looking at God's treasure right now. And if you pull up a mirror and look at yourself, you're also seeing God's treasure. God died. Jesus went to the cross for each and every one of us. He paid for salvation for each and every one of us. And when he was on that cross, he thought about each and every one of us. He thought of us individually, not just as a group. Yes, he loves us being together as a group. He loves us being the body. And that's what he's brought us together for, is to be the body. One body, a part of one big, huge body. And that's wonderful. But God thought of us individually. He loved us and treasured us individually. We are the apple of his eye. We are the ones that God thinks about. We are the one that God dreams about. We are the one that God desires. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are the ones that God desires. Glory to God. And Jesus, of course, in Scripture is called the desire of nations. We are the desire of God, but he is the desire of nations. What does that mean? It means he is the one that the nations need to desire. He is the one that has fully blessed the nations. Amen. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. My most prized treasure, when I think about my most prized treasure here on earth, my most prized treasure is my family. I think about my family all the time. Everything I do, it's because of my family. And tell you the truth, the reason I serve God today mostly is because of my family. You say, well, why is that? Because I realized early on that if I didn't serve God, that it would reflect in my family, that it could hurt my family, that everything that I do in life is attached to my kids, to my wife, to my mother, to those that I care the most about, amen? Everything that I do in life is attached to those things, and if people would start realizing that, they'd start living their lives just a little bit differently, realizing that, you know what, all these decisions that are fought about today, when we look in our society and a lot of these things are fought, it's all self-motivated, almost all of it. If we truly thought about those that we affect, decisions would be a lot easier to make, amen? Praise the Lord. Because when I think about my family, it's always clear. It's always a pure decision. Is anyone else there with me? If you think about your family, it's not hard to make a decision when it comes to feeding your family. Amen. What would cause a mother who can't afford bread to go steal it? It's her family. It's not a hard decision. She would just do it. Whatever I have to do to feed them, then we're talking about people who care. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And so we understand that, of course, with things that are easy to understand that with, like families. You look at a mother with a newborn baby, and as she looks on that newborn baby, that's her heart. That's her treasure. That's everything to her. There's nothing in the world that's more important to her at that moment when she's taking care of that baby. And isn't that a wonderful thing? And God's given that to us to understand. But we have to know that in our life, the things that we focus on, the things that we love, they are all connected. Amen. And they're all connected to our love towards God. They're all connected to us loving that salvation, that thing that he provided for us, that life that, and that's really what salvation is. Salvation is the life that we get to walk in now. Salvation is not, it's not something that is for the by and by. It is not something that is for the far off future. Salvation, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Praise the Lord. Today is a day. That means that we live in salvation even today. If you've been born again, you live in salvation right now. You are currently living in your salvation. But are you maximizing that salvation? Are you living that salvation to the fullest? Are you fully completing what is intended for you to complete in that salvation? You know, if you went to work every day and you had a job where you built widgets or whatever, and you went to your job and you just said, you know what, I'm just not going to build widgets today. And you just sat there all day and you went there day after day and you just didn't build your widgets. And guess what? Your boss wouldn't be too happy with you. Eventually, you would lose your job, wouldn't you? Eventually, it'd be taken away from you and it wouldn't be anybody else's fault but yours. You would be mad. And people get mad when they get fired. But most often when people get fired, it's not because of the boss's fault. Often it's because they did something to deserve that. And that's just something that I've noticed over the years. I'm not saying it's always the case, but you understand that most of the time, you know, If you get pulled over by a cop and get a speeding, if you get pulled over by a cop, most of the time, you know that you were guilty for that you were deserving of getting pulled over. Why? Because you broke some law, you broke some rule, whatever it was. You may not like the rule, but you know that if you broke it, you were going to get pulled over. Praise the Lord. That's just the way it is. Sometimes we just don't care, do we? Sometimes it's just, so what? Pull me over. Give me a ticket. See if I care. Amen? Praise the Lord. Sometimes we feel that way. But then we get mad when we go to get insurance and the insurance company says, hey, you've gotten all these tickets because you just didn't care. Now your insurance is like, well, that's not fair. See, that's the kind of world we live in. I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this, and then I'm going to say it's not fair when the consequences come. But praise the Lord, Christians do the same thing. God's given them such a beautiful salvation, such a wonderful gift, such an awesome way of life, amen? And we're going to see that the life that God has given us is blessed. The salvation he's given us is to increase us. It's to increase others. It's to be blessed and be a blessing. Hallelujah. If we operate accordingly. If we operate according to the rules of salvation. There are rules of salvation. Didn't you know that? Christ is freedom, yes. Freedom to choose right. Praise the Lord. He said, no, I'm going to give you the freedom to choose right, even though your body wants to choose wrong. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. My most prized possession here is my family. I just love my family. And so they're my treasure. That's where my heart is. And we can understand that with so many other things in our lives. Some people, the most frivolous things become their most prized possession. Yeah. There's people, I remember there was this movie when I was growing up. I don't know really if that, and I remember a lot of the TV edited version. I don't know if the, so just don't, you decide whether or not to watch it. I'm not telling you to watch it is what I'm saying. But Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I don't know if anyone ever remember that movie. But the whole thing, I love that movie because I loved how he schemed to get the day off. And I actually used to do things very similar to, not quite that elaborate, but I used to plot and scheme to get time off. Amen. And I really loved it all the way up until the point where they told me, hey, you skip school enough, we're going to stop allowing you to come. And I'm like, wait a minute here. I don't like that. I like the option of coming. But see, they were saying, praise the Lord anyways. But so Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and you remember one of the big things in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, if you've seen it, was he had a friend named Cameron, right? And he dragged Cameron into this. Cameron was not really legitimately sick. Praise the Lord. He was just a hypochondriac. He was at home, but he was there wallowing in his self-misery, which again is what a lot of Christians do. And so this is a spiritual movie. I'm just telling you, praise the Lord. So anyways, he goes through this, this thing, and what does he call up his friend Cameron for? Because Cameron's his treasure? No. Because Cameron's car, dad's car, is his treasure. That's what he's after. That's what his heart is set on, and he wants to get that car. And there's this whole scene where Cameron takes him into the show him the car. So he just shows what a stupid friend he was. Because why would you even bother going that far? You knew what was going to happen. He was going to be manipulated. But whatever, anyways. So he takes him in to show him this car, and as he's looking at this car, he's explaining, the history of this car and all this stuff, and talking about how awesome this car is and how there's only it's maybe one out of just a few that even exist anymore, and it's his dad's most prized possession. I don't know if you remember, but his dad would even rub it down with a diaper every day, he said, so we just building on this, amen? What did they do? They had to steal the car. But what a worthless thing to have as your most prized possession. You have a family, but you know how many people live that way? You don't need a real expensive sports car, some rare, I can't even remember what kind of car it was. It was a Porsche or something like that. No, it was a Ferrari, I think. Some kind of Ferrari, something like that. But, there's so many people that live, their most prized possession is that vehicle, is that house, is that thing that they have. It's that trophy. It means so much to them, amen? I've learned in my life, and I think that some of it has actually been God, hallelujah. But I've had a lot of things in my life be taken from me. Now, when I say this, I want to qualify it. I don't mean God's going around taking things from us. Because God is not the destroyer. He's not the wrecking ball. He's not the one who blesses and then tears down. He is not the giver than the taker away. Praise the Lord, as some people like to claim. It's just twisting scripture and making it false is all it is. And if you don't believe that, we'll come up and we'll contend together afterwards. But it's not true. It's not the way that God intended things to be. He is the giver of abundant life. Praise the Lord. But there's been things in my life that meant a lot to me, little things, trinkets, different things here and there. One time I remember when my wife and I, you know, we first started getting into the digital age with digital cameras and stuff like that. And here we have this digital camera and on our computer, and we took all these pictures of the kids, the boys, the first probably 4 or 5 years that Renee and I were together, and all these pictures that we took of the boys. Praise the Lord. We had all these places we had gone to and all these memories. And I had them on the computer. And guess what happened? I got a virus. And that virus wiped everything out. And we lost every single one of those pictures. And it was heartbreaking. It would make us sick when we think about it. We'd start tearing up and, you know, literally tearing up when it was a prized possession. But, you know, I'm not saying that God made that happen, but God definitely taught me a lesson through that. And what was that lesson? Not to get attached to earthly things. Not to get so attached to things that it's going to move me. Was I going to let that steal my happiness? Would I let that steal my joy? Absolutely not, because I'm sure I can watch video clips of it in heaven. But, you know, of their lives and our lives, you know, or whatever. And I believe that. I believe that God won't let me forget all of that forever. But, you know, the point that I'm trying to make is that we hold such things that don't matter, we hold them so dear to ourselves, and we don't realize that there's a greater thing out there to be desiring and contending for, amen? And that is this salvation. What is this salvation? It's the life that we live. It's the life we lived after we're saved. After Jesus, after we receive the salvation that Jesus paid for us, it's how we live. What do we do with that? Amen. It's how we spend each day. It's how we spend our time. You know, as a pastor lately, the Lord has been teaching me so much about what really matters and what doesn't matter. Now, you know, you hear me talk about, I believe that it matters to God that the building is nice and that things that are taken care of and all that stuff. I kind of run on that stuff, don't I? And I do because it is important. It's important in our lives to do that. But not to the point where that becomes the focus. Not to the point where that becomes so important to us that we get distracted from what the real goal is. And the real goal is lives. And of course, all of this matters as it pertains to drawing people in, you know, where the building is located and advertising and all these things that we can possibly do. But, you know, even things like the TVs, you know, all these TVs, they're up here, but people don't realize the work that goes into having a TV up here. We have TVs up here that do two things. We put scriptures up when we're preaching, praise the Lord, when all of us should have our Bible anyways, praise, I'm just saying, glory to God, we need to learn our Bible, but we put scriptures up just in case you don't, just so you can see where we're coming from, and we have them so you can have song lyrics up there. But all of these, to have these up here, is hours and hours and hours of work and thousands of dollars just to do this, amen? But still, some people might get ticked if they come in and they see one TV black and one TV with, you know, lit up. Amen. But there's work involved. There's a process of things. You know, all the wires you get from here have to come from back there, and they come through there through these little channels cut into these beams. It was easy to put them in when we were building the building, but it's not so easy to access things after you've already built. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But see, here's the thing, is we could sit here and focus, and I would find myself at times getting stressed over things like this. Just telling you the truth. Why? Because I want things to be excellent. I want things to be right, and they should be. But my point is that we could get so focused on things that don't matter in our lives. And I'm just giving an example out of my life so you can just reflect it in your own life. We get so focused on things that don't matter that we forget what truly does. What truly matters is everybody who's not sitting in here today. Or is not sitting in a church today. What truly matters is everybody who needs to find the Lord who hasn't found him yet. That's what truly matters. You know, I have an example in my life of a place I like to go to, and there's I like to go there because I can go there, I can study the Word, and I can be quiet. I can just be by myself. There wasn't a lot of people that go. And, you know, all of a sudden somebody started showing up and started talking to me and stuff. And praise the Lord, I'm fine with that. I'm generally a fairly easy to get along with person. I like to talk to people, you know. But it changed my routine. It kind of invaded the thing that I was doing. And so I found myself started getting frustrated with it a little bit. And then I was like, you know, wait a minute. Why would I get frustrated with this? This is opportunity. This is opportunity to talk to somebody. This is opportunity to share my faith with somebody. This is opportunity to reach out to someone else. And who knows what that opportunity, and actually it has opened up doors, and I can't go into all the details, but not even doors with that person, but because that person sitting there talking with them was a door to someone else and something else. And then God showed me something about that other person through those connections. And see, it was all because it would have been ruined if I had just gotten mad and said, I'm just going to be the person I am, just going to be, you know, I want to be left alone. I want to be the person I want to be, and I want to do what I want to do. And how many people, how many times in life do we have those opportunities? And we miss out that opportunity to reach somebody for the Lord. Praise God. Turn with me to Colossians 3. Our salvation is how we live. Our salvation is what we do with our lives after we got saved. Amen. And there's things that are provided in that salvation for us. There are things that are waiting for us in that salvation. There's tools. There's ability. There's money. There's all kinds of things. There's houses. There's towns. There's lands. There's places you'll go to. Amen. I got to go a few years ago. I got to go because I was serving the Lord. I got to go to Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Never thought in my life I'd ever go there. Yeah. Never. It was never even a thought of a place that I would go. And all of a sudden, one day, on a Monday, I find out I might be going by Thursday. Was it Thursday? Yeah, by Thursday, I was there. Yeah. On a Monday, I found out I might be going. Yeah. On Thursday, I was there. Hallelujah. And if you knew the process of how God got me there, it was amazing. But getting there and just the experience alone was life-changing. And the people that we were able to reach is life-changing, amen? And the doors that opens and the understanding that opens was life-changing, praise God. That was only afforded to me through salvation, through following the Lord. See, so many Christians, they get saved, and then they still continue to live the life they always lived. And because of that, and this is what I'm talking about, loving your salvation, is loving that thing that God has for us to do and not being frustrated by it. You know, I could very easily, at different times, I could very easily get frustrated by being a pastor. Not every part of pastoring is enjoyable. In fact, there's a lot of aspects of it that are very much not enjoyable. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, standing here talking is generally enjoyable, but there's times when it's not. There's times when you're preaching and people are scowling at you. There's times where I'll preach the word, I'll speak the word that God gave me to get, and people will be so mad at me that they'll hate me for it. That's not enjoyable, amen? Then there's all the things that you have to contend with, the things you have to deal with. There's laws, and you have to be an administrator. My pastor said you, when you're a pastor, you're not just a pastor, you're an architect, you're a lawyer. Praise the Lord, you're a doctor. You get to do all these different things. Yeah, praise the Lord, because people bring everything to you, and everything will be brought to you. You know what I mean? And it's not always enjoyable to live that way. It's life consuming. You know, being in the ministry like this, it consumes who you are. And not because everything that's going on around me necessarily, but because my life, because I love it so much, because it's what God has placed in me. And it's always there. It's something that we always think about. We take with us. If we go away, we take it with us wherever we are. When we go, when we come, it's there with us. Amen. It can be consuming sometimes. And sometimes if you're not careful, you can allow that consumption to be overpowering. But see, we have to keep it in check. We have to keep our lives in check. But being a Christian is no different. We need to live our lives in such a way that we allow God to do through us what he wants to do through us and not be upset and offended when he's calling us to do it. You know, I was writing down some notes as my wife was talking about giving and stuff today. I was sitting here writing some things down. I wasn't texting somebody. I wasn't playing a video game. Praise the Lord. I wasn't checking Instagram real quick. I was actually doing something spiritual. And I was writing down some notes about what God was saying. I give to the Lord because I love him. I give to the work of the Lord because I love it. I give my life for the Lord. I follow him because I love the Lord and what he's done for my life. It's not frustrating to follow God if you know how to do it correctly. And how you do it correctly is you get your head right. You get your attitude right. You get rid of the stinking thinking that you always had where you just, I'm just going to be an American. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm just going to have everything my way. Listen, it is not all about your way. And if you need it all your way, well, go somewhere else because you ain't getting it here. Amen? You won't get your way here. You're not going to get your own way. We don't all get a vote always in everything. We just don't. There's a lot of things I didn't vote for in my life that I got. Amen? That just happens sometimes. Get used used to it. It's the way it goes. Praise the Lord. It's not a bad thing. Amen. I know that it's a popular thing that teaches that we all got to have everything just the way we want it. And if it's not just the way we want it, then by God, I'm going to throw a fit. And I'm going to throw this hissy fit, and you're going to have to listen. And if you don't listen, you're a bad person for listening. But listen, we all make our own way, and God's given us a way. He's given us all a way to make it good, make it time, make it wonderful, make it enjoyable. If we're not living a peaceful, enjoyable, joy-filled, prosperity-filled, health-filled life, it is not God's fault, it's our fault. I said it's not God's fault, it's our fault, because he's always provided a way for us. He's made sure, he's given us this word that ensures this is your title, this is your document that says you are an overcomer. Doesn't matter what you feel, doesn't matter what it looks like. This is your title that says you win. This is the proof. This is, you say, I need proof, this is your proof. How do we know? Because it works, praise the Lord. It works for everybody who works it, amen? Glory to God. You find Colossians 3, praise the Lord. Colossians 3, 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Set your mind. You know, a treasure, your emotions are nothing but your mind. You realize that. Your emotions are nothing but your mind. It's how you think. Some people's emotions are warped because their thinking is warped. I know we have some counselors in here, praise the Lord, to people, and a lot of them can tell you the same thing. A lot of things are just in how you perceive it. Why you could have two people that were raised in the exact same way, and one person is completely depressed, and one person is completely fine. How can that be? Because they think about it differently. You know, we know the difference. We know most of us know about being a pessimist or being an optimist. Amen. That an optimist can live a more enjoyable life, praise the Lord, just by thinking differently. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But the Bible tells us that, doesn't it? It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So whatever you think in your heart, whatever you put your affections on, whatever matters to you, that will become what's important to you. So we set our mind on the things of God, or we set things on the things of earth. But you do realize that the things of earth, I said this last night and I'll say it again, my wife and I love going to art galleries. I love architecture. I love looking at all these wonderful things. We go up to the Albright Knox, and the Albright Knox, they told us recently that they can't tell us what each painting is insured for, but the one thing they could tell us is that entire wing of the building was insured for billions of dollars. One wing of a building, billions of dollars. Some of those paintings might be billions in of themselves. Just that's what they're insured for, that if it burnt down or something like that. And so people spend their lives sometimes around curating these things and making sure that they're protected, and that these paintings will last for generation after generation. But every time I'm in there, and I enjoy them, I love seeing them, but every time I'm in there, the same thing comes to my spirit. I don't want to say God speaks it to me specifically, but it's in my spirit every time that every one of these paintings one day will burn up. They will burn up just as much as this carpet will, just as much as the trees, the grass will. They will be worthless just like everything else. Why? Because they don't matter. Yes, they're fine for here and they're enjoyable, but we don't set our heart and our affection on those things. Yes, we like to enjoy those in our spare time. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with going out and riding a motorcycle. There's nothing wrong with having a boat. There's nothing wrong with liking to go camping or liking to go on vacations. There are all these things. They're wonderful. But if we set our hearts on those things, they become our treasure. And those things all perish, just like the grass of the field. You know, the Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither, you know, where moths can't corrupt it, where rust can't corrode it. Praise the Lord. Nothing. When you set your mind on the things above, what you're doing is you're putting your heart on things that are greater. Again, it's not wrong that we enjoy these things, but your mind is on something greater. And when your mind is there, it takes your heart there too. Why? Because it becomes your way of thinking. It becomes who you are. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so as you think about these things, this is what you become. As you set your mind on the things of God, all of a sudden, the things of God are most important to you. Amen? What's the difference between me and somebody who doesn't? It's just setting your mind in the right place. You can ask my wife, I have times probably almost daily, if not many times weekly, to despise the things that we do. I have many opportunities to do it. There's times where people will bring things to you there's times where people will bring you drama in life that you have no control over. Praise God. There's sometimes they'll bring you drama and you like, and you even told them not to go down that road, but they went down it anyways and it caused you drama. Yeah. So listen, that's not something I enjoy. And when that drama, sometimes that drama can be intense. Sometimes it can. There's people that do things. There's people that have done things in this church that reflect poorly on the church. Sure. And the church had nothing to do with it. Yeah. The church has had absolutely nothing to do with it. They're not even faithful to the church. And yet they'll go do things that will reflect poorly on the church and on our ministry. And people will say things about us that aren't even true. They're not enjoyable. Right. Praise the Lord. Right. But we've set our mind on things. And that kind of stuff happens all the time. You know, I mean, people try to judge Christianity all the time based on what a couple of dumb Christians do. You know, some idiot Christian, idiot loudmouth Christian is out there running their mouth about something they shouldn't be saying. You know what I mean? They're talking. Now, listen, it's different when we're saying something we should. Sometimes we say things that we should be saying things that people don't like, and that's fine. But sometimes they're out there saying things that are like, that's not scripture at all. You're just being dumb. Yeah. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Praise the Lord. But it gives us all a black eye. But we set our mind on things above, not things on the earth. We don't worry about that stuff. Why? Because if we worry, if that's where our affections are, then that's where our whole life will be consumed with that. We will never rise above it. Praise God. One thing I learned, I have been a person who has dealt so strongly in life with depression. I had such horrible depression and anxieties on me. There was a couple times I was hospitalized for. I was heavily medicated for it. There's all these things. And I'm going to tell you one thing that I've learned. And I was a person that it started from early childhood. I didn't know where it came from. It wasn't that I purposed to be that way. I had probably the best mother that you could even imagine having. Praise the Lord. I still got her. Praise God. But I was raised with my wife is too. Praise God. Hallelujah. But she wasn't my mother. Amen. She's my wife, and she's the best wife you can imagine having. Praise the Lord. But don't try to imagine because she's my wife. Amen. Praise the Lord. But my mom could be a mother to more of you. Praise the Lord. If you need a mother, come see my mom. She'll help you out. But praise God. But probably won't love you as much as she loves me. But anyways, I was raised with no reason to be depressed, so to speak. But this settled on me. Sometime it got into my mind and it became who I was. And because that's where I set my mind, that's the road that I always went down. And it went darker and darker. And I found something. I was in my teens, in my early 20s, that one of the things that I did, what I loved doing, was depression. I didn't even realize it. I would listen to music that was feeding the depression. I would watch movies that would feed the depression. I would read poetry that was feeding the depression. I would hang out with people that would feed the depression. Oh, life is so bad, and let's form a club. Life is so miserable. Life is so tough. Let's just form a group. Let's get together and be a group of people whose lives are miserable, and we'll just feed off of each other. Well, praise the Lord. Bible also tells us that that bad company corrupts good character. Hallelujah. So if you allow yourself into that, that's what you do. And that's what I fed. And so I got to a place where I slipped into such a deep, dark depression that sometimes, I mean, there was times where I'd go outside and break down in a nervous breakdown, literally going outside. There was times where, I mean, one time I came running in the house and I was curled up in a ball on my bathroom floor, and it felt like somebody was taking nails going down. This was a manifestation on my flesh of what I was dealing with. Praise the Lord. And it was all mental. It wasn't because it was real. There was nothing that would cause me fear to go outside. There was a time where I stopped going in public, or I started withdrawing from going in public because I was so afraid of going in public. What was I afraid of? Seeing people. That's it. Just seeing people. And now God put me in front of everybody. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see what I mean? But the thing is, it was just where my mind was. It was all, I didn't realize that I had to renew my mind with the Word of God. Set your mind on things above, not things on the earth. My mind was always set on things on the earth. I was always trying to figure out how to get out of this trial and how to get out of this trial and how to get past this and do that. You know, the Lord will teach me. He'll teach you all this stuff. You'll not know what to do, and you'll just put it before the Lord, and He'll show you exactly what to do. And that's what our church does. That's what we do, is we're a group of people. And that's why I love the family churches so greatly, because we're not perfect. I'm going to tell you, I'm the first to know that we're not perfect. But one thing I do know is that we've been taught the Word of God in a very, very, very life-changing way. And that we're Christians. One of the things that I love, one of the hallmarks of true Christianity, and I'll tell you, one of the hallmarks of the family churches is stability. God put, he takes unstable people and He's made them stable. I love that. I love stability. You know why? Because you can't live in joy if you're not stable. You can't live in peace if you're not stable. Praise the Lord. And you can't live in any of those things if you don't live in the Word. Set your mind on things above and not things of the earth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 Kings. We're going to go back. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings. You know where 1 Kings is, right? It's right before 2 Kings. Praise the Lord. That's right. Hallelujah. If you're new, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. That's just something that I like to say. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But come on in. You can get, you come in. We're not excluding you. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings 19, verse 19. Praise the Lord. So this is when Elisha was called on to follow Elijah. Okay? It says, so he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12th. So he wasn't necessarily doing something that looked like ministry, was he? He didn't look like necessarily do something that was looked like it was following God, was he? Just doing a job, right? And he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And in case you don't know what that means, basically all that was it was symbolic of the call. He was saying, you're called to follow me, called to come with me. Amen? Praise the Lord. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. He recognized it and said, please let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Praise God. There's some symbolism that I want to show you here, and that's why I brought up these scriptures. But it's this part where it talks about that he killed the oxen, and a lot of people might read over that thing. Why would he kill the oxen? And because this is symbolic of what he was doing. He was saying that the former life that I have, not living it anymore. He was destroying any way for it to come back. He boiled the oxen, got rid of his ability to do the job. He cooked the oxen with the implements that he used to plow the field. He just got rid of it all, threw it in a big heaping pile, fed people, and said, see, I'm off. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what he did. So many Christians, they get saved, they come in, and they try to hold on to their old life, and that is one of the greatest reasons why people fail. That's why people miss it, because they I got to hold on to this. I got to have this. I got to have this. Well, what do you want? Do you want salvation? Do you want life with the Lord? Do you want the blessing of God on your life? Do you want to always win? Do you want the victory? Do you want all these things the Bible promises you? Or do you want that life that you came out of? Do you want those things that held you back, that pulled you down? Do you want those things that tore you apart? See, so many people fail in this simple decision. I see it all the time. They will hold on. Well, this is my tradition. This is my past. This is what I always do. So I got to keep this one thing. This is important to me. Praise the Lord. And they reject what God has for them. The funniest thing about this, the most interesting thing about it, is that what God has waiting for us, the Bible says, eye has not seen nor heard, but God has revealed to them. The things that God has for us are so much greater than anything you can imagine. He said, it's so wonderful what I have for you that you can't even imagine it, but there is an element of trust. You got to trust me. You got to believe me. You got to believe my word. You got to, because that's what it requires. That's the cost that it is. Some people think that the cost of being a Christian is now I gotta go to church, or I gotta belong to this religion, or I gotta pay this much money. It's none of that stuff. The cost of being a true Christian is trust in the Lord. It's believing Him. It's saying, you know what? You saved me from this much. I believe you saved me all the way. You've given me this much. You will take me into the promised land. I know you will, because you've given me this much. But see, there's many people that get there in a year or two in. They get up to that point where they got to make that change. Because listen, I'm telling you, being a Christian ain't free. It means you're going to have to cut something. It means you're going to have to lose something and let it go. It means you're going to have to let go of something that was in the past and move forward to the things that God has for you. And that's the decision that we all have to make. And I'm going to tell you, you don't just make it once. You make it over and over and over. There are times where there's been times in my life where the people that I was running with were doing nothing but holding me back from going. And not because, and God, listen, God is gracious. He doesn't care that somebody's a sinner. But he does care when people start holding you back. What do we see? We see people that come after Christians. There'll be relatives and there'll be friends. We're going to see that here in a minute. Be relatives or friends, and they'll sit there and say, oh, you don't really want to go to church every Sunday. You don't really want to go to church on Tuesdays too. What do you mean there's a special guest minister in and you're going to go three whole nights this week? I can't believe that you would do that. What do you mean you're going to give into the offering? Well, all they want is your money anyways. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Nobody's forced anyone to be here. Nobody's forced anybody to get help from the Lord. Praise the Lord. I prayed for many people. Glory to God. And I've seen it change. I've seen cancer healed. I've seen depression broken. I've seen people who were completely unstable become completely stable. I have seen people who were not able become completely able. I have seen marriages that have been restored. I've seen marriages happen. I have seen people increase and increase and increase all by following the word of God. I have seen people who were once depressed, not depressed. People who couldn't even barely have a life, and now they're living a joyful, prosperous life in the Lord. I've seen this with my own eyes in 5 years of ministry in this church. And the reason that I got to this point is because I saw it for years in ministry in someone else's church. Because someone preached the word and someone listened to the word. And when you listen to the word, it always works. It always changes. It always does it. There's always hope. There's always something better. But it costs something. It costs you saying, I'm going to let go of those things that hold me back. Listen, you can run with me. Praise the Lord. There's a Jim Croce song. Can't remember which one it is, but he says in it, I always love this one line. He's like, you can go with, or he said, if you're going my way, I'll go with you. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. What's my way? My way is not my way, it's God's way. Yeah. So if you go my way, you can come with. Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But if you want to go somewhere else, I'm sorry, you got to go. Right. My wife and I have a rule. In fact, some of the times when it's been the hardest and I've wanted to quit the ministry, and there's been times that I've wanted to quit the ministry, I'm going to tell you one thing that really encourages me not to quit the ministry, knowing that that precious woman right there won't quit. And I'm not going to just tell you, because knowing that she won't quit means that if I quit, then she's got to go somewhere I can't go. Praise the Lord. And that keeps me pressing on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It will drive you and it will push you. You'll say, you know what? I got to get back up because I ain't got a choice. Amen. Because I ain't found nobody better than her yet. And I don't think I'm going to. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't want to. Praise the Lord. But that's why we keep pushing. Amen. Keep going. Amen. Turn with me to Luke 9. Praise the Lord. Luke 9. Hallelujah. We're going to see this again. We need to love our salvation. We need to make it our affection. It means so much to us that there's nothing else that can take us from it. Luke 9:59. Then he said to another, this is Jesus, he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Jesus was not saying that it's wrong to go bury your father, you understand. But he was making a point here, and a point that needs to be taken. And we go on in verse 61, it says, and another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. What was he saying there? Really, I looked this up, some context. It's interesting of this one commentator's view of this, and I believe it to be true. But he said it wasn't because he didn't want him to go see his family, but he knew his family would try to draw him away in that case, amen? And Jesus was calling him to something higher. See, if you've been brought into the family, you've been brought into something higher, amen? We don't forsake our family. We love our families. But I'm going to tell you right now, there are things in our family over the years have been strained because we wouldn't go the way they were going. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember the time when my family found out that I don't do bachelor parties. I don't do them. Why? I don't believe in them. I believe they're completely evil. I don't do Christian bachelor parties. You want me to tell you why? Because when you have committed somebody to marry, you are not a bachelor anymore. You lost that bachelor status when you committed to marry. I don't care if you're married or not, but that's what you did. We don't have nights on the town with the guys because it's our last night of freedom. My relationship with my wife, and if you go into a marriage looking at it like this, it's going to fail. But my last night before I got married to my wife was not an excitement of, oh, this is my last chance to go out and be free. No way, man. I was excited because I want to get to the next night. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I want to step over into where the eating's good. You know what I'm talking about? I want to get over. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. I ain't looking back. I'm looking forward. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, it's all in how you look at it. I said, it's all how you look at it. You can look at life. You can look at marriage as the old ball and chain, and that's exactly what you will have. I look at my wife blesses me all the time. Glory to God, and glory does she bless me. Hallelujah. And I don't mean that raunchy. I don't mean that raw. I'm just saying that hallelujah. I seriously, when I was looking in life, when I was, what am I going to do? When I was separated and from my previous marriage, and I was like, where's my life going to go? And I just want somebody good. And I had these dreams and these aspirations of what it could be. And I'm going to tell you, God has answered every single one of them. Hallelujah. Why? Because he knew what I would do for him. He knew what I wouldn't keep back from him. God blessed me with somebody who would run with me. God blessed me with somebody who would take and go with me all the way. Praise the Lord. See, people who look at marriage bad are people that are tainted by the world, and that's something else that people hold on to. That's something else that people hold on. I don't hold on from anything from my past. I don't care if I had a bad marriage. I don't care if I had 10 bad marriages. I got a good one now, and that's all that matters. Praise the Lord. But we are fully blessed because we honor that covenant. We honor it. Because we don't think lightly of it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. How to get on that? Bachelor parties, I think. Nobody looking back. We don't look back at those things that were that held us back. Why would we look back into that life? Amen? You know what I mean? It's like it's like the people in scary movies always run to the scary house. You know what I mean? No, you run far away from that. You don't run into the cemetery. If there's zombies in the cemetery, then by God, you get as far away from the cemetery as you can. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you the truth. This is common sense. But people act like that in life. They got dead walking around. They want to eat their brains out. And people want to run after them and enjoy and partake. And then they wonder why their life falls apart and is a mess. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God wants to add to you his joy. God's joy is to add to your life. That's what he's not trying to take away. He's trying to cut away the things that are keeping you from getting into the good things that he has for you. Man, it's so funny because you sit there and you watch, you're like, and as a pastor, man, I'm doing it all the time. I'm casting out the pole, you know, trying to reel them in, and I'm saying, listen, just come on, stay on the line because it's better here than it is out there. We throw our net, it's better in here. It's better being blessed than it is being a mess. Hallelujah. I'd rather be in here and be blessed on Sunday morning. Well, I could have slept in today. Yeah, I could have, but I could also forego being blessed this week. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, 2 Corinthians 6:1. Praise God. We need to love our salvation. We need to make it our affection. Our salvation, remember, is how we live. Where are we living? Are we living for God? Or are we living for ourselves still? What are we doing? We want to live for God because that's where the blessing is. That's where the relationship is. And it's so sweet. Oh, my God. God is such, he's the perfect friend. He is the perfect gentleman. He is the perfect advocate. God always is, he's just, it's just perfect. When I'm alone, it doesn't matter where I'm at, I have God. When I'm stressed out, it doesn't matter. I've always got an answer. Praise the Lord. You know how many times I look at people? Yeah, I'm going to tell you this. I've counseled many people over the last 5 years as a pastor, and even before then in my pastor's church, I did some counseling for him, not to him, but like for, you know, I helped him with counseling people. And the one thing I've learned about is this, and I've seen some really heavy problems, let me tell you, really heavy problems. But I'm going to tell you, and this is the absolute truth. Almost every single problem that anyone's ever presented before me, the answer is incredibly easy. Almost every single time. It's not, you think that it's some, I don't know what we're going to do. And people, there's been many times people come to me, Pastor, I don't know what we're going to do. We don't, listen, this is bad. And they bring it before me. I'm like, well, that's not near as bad as I could have imagined it could have been. And listen, the answer isn't that hard anyways. It really isn't that hard. There's always an answer. And God gives us the answer. Say amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. We then as workers together with him, praise the Lord, not working against him, we want to work with him. Also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For God says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. When is the day of salvation? Today is the day of salvation. He said, in the day of salvation I have helped you. Today is the day. The Bible says today is the day. Today is the day of salvation, amen? That means he's helped us today. The answer is today. Praise the Lord. One of my favorite definitions of salvation, I want to give it to you right now, and it's out of the concordance. One of my favorite definitions of salvation, salvation as the present possession of all true Christians. The present possession of all true Christians. That's what salvation is. It's what we have now. It's not what we're waiting for. It's not what we're longing for. We have it today. We have access to God today. We have the answers we need today. We have the direction we need today. Everything is about today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I ask you then, is your heart in his salvation? Are you living your salvation? What life are you living? Are you living for salvation, or are you just living ping-ponging back and forth, not knowing what to do? We need to live for God. We need to live for his salvation. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified. Let me read this to you. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. He prearranged and made ready for you a good life to live. And he said, if you follow this path, this is a path to it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You remember, it's attached to the works, how we work for God. But if we're going to continually work for ourselves, then we forego that good life that he has for us. And it's not that God is holding it back, but you have to decide to sell up. You have to decide. Salvation is where I want to live. It's where I want to be. Right. And how do we do that? God, I may not know how to give everything up, but I want you to show me. And God won't, he's not cruel. He won't come to you and say, oh, I'm just going to pluck everything away from you. Now you're naked and bare and you're just out here alone. I've never left you nor forsaken you. God deals with us at each level. He'll deal with us. He'll deal with maybe something said in church. Maybe we'll be reading the word and he'll say, deal with us on something. Maybe we'll be listening to a minister and he'll say something, whatever. He'll speak to us and he'll show us things. Listen, you got to pluck this out. And he'll give you time. And then you got to recognize it. Lord, yes, Lord, I see that. And I'll pluck it out. Amen. Praise God. I'm not going to get into all that. But praise the Lord. We're at time? Yeah. 5 minutes? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. She said it. Praise the Lord. Don't stone her. I told you she was a good woman. I love this in Judges 16:15. It says, then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? Yeah. How can you say I love you, Lord, if your heart isn't with him? Is your heart in the things that God wants to do? Listen, there's so many people that think that they can just do church on their own. I can just have a relationship with God on my own. I don't need church. That's one of the biggest lies that Satan has convinced the Christian world of. Why? Because the Bible says that we are all part of, that's the scripture that I wasn't going to get to today, but the Bible says that we're all part of a body. Listen, when I come to church, I bring my hands and my feet with me. Praise the Lord. I bring everything else with me too. Amen. When I go to Walmart, guess what comes with me? I might forget my hat, but I certainly didn't forget my hand. I certainly didn't forget my fingers. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Many times where I go out and I'm like, darn, this or I forgot that, but you know what? It never is part of my body. It's always there. And if I start forgetting parts of my body, something's wrong. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Jesus called us the body of Christ for a reason. We are called the body for a reason. We are told that we are members. The Bible says that God has set all the members as he has pleased. You don't even get to choose where you get placed in the body. Well, I want to be a prophet of God. You don't get that choice. God decides. I want to be a pastor. You don't get that choice. Praise the Lord. I didn't call to be a pastor. I wasn't one that was saying, I want to be a pastor. I was saying, let me serve, praise the Lord, because I'm better at doing lawn maintenance. I'm better at doing building maintenance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, I can usher. I said to my pastor the other day, I said, I don't know why God made me a pastor, because I was a much better usher. Praise the Lord. I was saying that jokingly, of course. But it was easy for me to usher. It was easy for me to do that because I, you know why? Because I loved it. Praise the Lord. I loved it with my, and I do. I love pastoring with my whole heart. Praise the Lord. But he also said I was a good pastor. So I don't care what all you said. My pastor says I was good. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can be a good, no. But see, we know, my heart is to be a good pastor. My heart, and that's the only reason it would cause any kind of, if it would seem like there's any doubt there, it would because I always want to be better for God. Yeah. Amen. I always want to be better for the people. I know I'm a good dad, but I always want to be a better dad. I know I'm a good husband. I'm a really great husband, but I'm just going to tell you, I want to be a greater husband. Hallelujah. I want to be a better, I say that jokingly, of course, praise the Lord. How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says we can learn anything from or something from any scripture. This is one I never thought I'd teach on, but here we go. How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? If your heart is not with him, if your heart isn't in it, praise the Lord. And your heart being in it is not just a feeling that you feel. This isn't the world. Well, I just feel this. No, you don't just feel it. You have to determine that this is your goal. I want a relationship with God. When you see something, when you see the moving or the stirring of God, or when you read the word, but see, that's a problem. A lot of Christians won't even pick this up and read it. They won't even look into the word. This is, you know, they're like, they won't even get in there and they want God to speak to them. You won't have any relationship with God if you don't study his word, if you don't read his word, because this talks all about him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, when God speaks to me, 90% of the time when God speaks to me, it's by the word. He reveals a scripture to me, gives me revelation of it, something I can see in it. Like, you can't even understand. See, I got to share this. But the way God speaks to you, if you ever had your nose clogged or something, and you put on Vicks Vapor Rub, and all of a sudden it's like, and you can smell, right? I know it's kind of a lousy, probably, example. But when God speaks to your heart, that's exactly what it is. You read a scripture, all of a sudden scripture will be there, and you start digging into it, and all of a sudden in your heart you feel that, wow, there's so much there, amen? You're smelling things that you never smell. You ever seen, I love watching those videos, sometimes like on YouTube, they have videos of, they've developed those glasses that allow colorblind people to see color. Have you seen that? It's so precious when you see them, and they almost always have the same reaction when they see the color for the first time. They're like, you know what I mean? I also saw that once with a deaf child who they were able to make hear, and they heard their mother's voice for the first time, and the reaction on their face. That's what it's like every time God speaks to me. It's like, oh. Yeah, there's no, like, I can't explain that feeling to anybody else, but I can tell you that there ain't nobody who can tell me God ain't real. There ain't nobody who can't, because when he enlightens my spirit, there's things I know. I'm like, glory to God, hallelujah. Actually, that's one of the things I do love about pastoring, because I'll sit before people and they'll present something to me. I won't know how to answer it. And within a second, the answer comes to me. And I know it didn't come from me because I wasn't that smart. Praise the Lord. But it's the answer. Praise God. Glory to God. We're going to close in Galatians 2:20. Praise the Lord. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Make God, his word, his plan, make it your treasure. Knowing that everything good is there, the joy, the peace, the life that God has promised us, that's where it's found, amen? And if you want to reach other people, then learn to live on fire and full of God. Because when you do that, I'm going to tell you something. There is nobody that you will not be able to reach. Because it is like candy. It is like honey. It draws people in. I mean, it is what they want. People don't want stale Christians that don't know how to live like Christians. But when people see somebody who's on fire and they're happy, man, they can't help but want to get all up in that. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Like, God wants us blessed. He's got great things for us. But we have to love him. We have to love what he wants to do. We have to be after it. And when we start doing that, praise the Lord, and you start right, you just started today. Glory to God. So you say, I don't know how to start. We started today. So praise the Lord. So just keep going down that path, and we'll get there together. Amen?